Welcome to Broker, brought to you by AIMS, the Association of Independent Mortgage Experts. This podcast is all about real talk, one broker to another. You might notice we sound a little different. We are keeping things rolling during quarantine and recording virtually. So tune in, enjoy the show, and stay healthy. I am your host, JP Hussey of the Hussey Team Mortgage Advisors. And today, got my buddy, Nate Dogg, Nate Davis of a Florida mortgage firm, right? I love that name.
Great. Yep.
Great. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. How you been?
Good. Family's good. Steph's good. Steph's my girl.
Yeah. No, she's on fire, man. Family's doing great, man. It's kind of like this whole thing, and I know it's a different experience for different families, and hopefully no one has been immediately impacted by their health, but there's also silver linings and everything, and we've seen some silver linings come out of this whole experience, not just from business, but also from family. I mean, being home with being home and around the kids more, and a lot of good stuff comes from this. My life's not going to go back to how it was when it's over. It's going to be different. It's going to be better for it too.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I've been playing so much basketball with my kids. My jump shot is on fire. I'm ready to go pro, man. I'm going back in,
I think. You're right there, man. I'll back you.
Yeah. No doubt. First thing, hey, thank you for your service.
Hey, man.
Yeah, I mean, we couldn't be doing this type of stuff, have the freedom to do these podcasts like this, being in a great industry without guys like you. So I want to definitely make a point of that.
Thank you, buddy. It's an honor, man. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. All right, let's dive in. I know a little bit about you. We met in Costa Rica at that awesome AIM event. Mm-hmm. But let's tell everyone who you are a bit, and really focused on how you got into the mortgage industry. We mm-hmm. talked a little bit about it yesterday, but I'd love to hear your story again, let everyone know where you came from and how you got into this.
Okay. So I guess, where do you start? I'm a simple guy from a simple family. I'm the second person in my entire family to ever get the opportunity to go to college, right? My whole family is hardworking people. So I grew up in a small town. You can hear my accent. I am in Florida, not in Kentucky or nothing, but in Florida. And I have this accent because we're a small town. And, raised up and, after high school, I did go to the Marine Corps. After that, I went to a community college and then transferred. I ended up going to University of Florida, graduated there, and ended up taking a job at Geico where I became an analyst for them. And while I was there, I was buying and selling real estate as an investment. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just blind luck. And whenever I would sell a home, they would always ask, well, how do you get financing? I would refer it out to people. And during that time, through being at Geico, being an analyst for them, I was I took some Six Sigma training and process reviews and things of that nature. It just occurred to me that a lot of people in the industry were really sales oriented, but they weren't subject matter experts. So my whole philosophy was, this is such a huge transaction. It should not be handled by people who are not in the weeds of this business. Mm-hmm. And as a result, I think if I was to take my, analytical background and apply it to the mortgage industry, we could probably create a process and a business that is, needed and desired in the industry. And that's kind of what we put together.
Yeah. So you didn't look at this as sales, like a lot of people into it.
No.
You looked at it kind of backwards, right?
Correct. I don't see it as backwards. I see it as how it should be,
right.
Correct. So we build everything process first. So every process that we built in our business, we did a few things. We looked at, number one, the consumer. What is the consumer experience? Two, we're heavy into purchases. And so we looked at, what do real estate agents want? What do they need? What are they lacking out there by the providers? And then the third thing we also did is we looked at loan officers. If you look at many loan officers in the industry, if you look at what they do during the day, there's so many things that they do that are it doesn't require their skill set to do so. It's kind of like whenever I go to the doctor's office, the surgeon doesn't come out and take my blood pressure. There's that saying, let nurses do nurse things and surgeons do surgeon things. Mm-hmm. So we apply the same concept to our office, to where our loan officers, whenever we build our systems, we build it with the expectation that if someone has that grind in them, if they want to go, they should be able to easily close $100+ million a year in volume without sacrificing their family, working all day Saturday, working all day Sunday, all nights. We didn't want that for them, because that's a, I see this is a marathon. This is not a sprint, and I don't want anyone burning out. I don't want anyone's families to resent their career. So we looked at every single thing that gets done in these processes and tried to accommodate those three components: the consumer, the realtor agent, and also the loan officer here. And that's kind of the foundation of how we started to build processes.
And you've always been, right now there's a lot more refinances, I would think, but you guys are still purchasing.
Correct. I don't know all the data or whatever, but hearing some things we've been referenced as like a top brokerage in the state of Florida for purchase business. And I don't know. We just kind of keep our nose to the ground and grind it out, man. We're not here for the accolades. We're here for the results. But, we are seeing a ton of refinances right now. To me, if you can master the purchase process, the refinance process is so much more, streamlined and easier to accommodate. So we are doing a lot of refinances now, but we still have a substantial volume of purchase business as well.
Yeah. What I've always said, and I think you'll agree with this, if you're purchase focused, when we have these refi booms, you're not even really marketing. They're just coming back to you when you do a good job on the purchase. It's not money, but it's remarketing, just coming back.
You typically develop relationships in times of need and worry and stress and anxiety. And when people are buying a home, not the process is all those things, but the consumer's mind is, they're really worried about a lot of things. Sometimes they'll call you and say, hey, I heard this inspection didn't pass. Does that mean we're walking away from the home? They get really worried and worked up, and it's like, no, that's where, you're an advisor and you got to call them and explain this to them. But in those processes, if you handle that with the purchase side, they're coming back on the refinance side, because you develop the relationship versus a refinance is typically more transactional. And I don't think you have much opportunity to build that bond with that consumer in that process. You can, it's just not as natural as a purchase transaction.
Yeah. I've always said especially on the purchase side, we're more like therapists than anything else. Right. Yeah. We're talking about emotions. We're talking about family. Mm-hmm. And if people watching this, if you can really look at it and think of a purchase and a refi, like how different they are emotionally, it's insane. So, the purchase, like you said, you get through that, you help someone get into a house, there's a lot of emotions, you become friends with them almost. Mm-hmm. When it's a refi boom like that, man, it's easy pickings, man. They're just coming back because they know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. Now, I do want to get into a little bit about more in the weeds of your process as well. Okay. Because I know you have how many, like 30 employees? Yeah. Am I right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, correct.
Does that include loan officers as well?
Yes.
Okay, so you got how many loan officers do you have?
Just over 10, actually.
Okay, 10.
So we're like a pound for pound, competitor out there, because we made it to where we literally have twice as many support staff as sales reps. Because when you take away all the minutia and just let the sales reps do what they do best, which is connecting and communicating with consumers and agents, and take everything else away, take everything else off their plate, you're able to find substantial leverage of what they do best, as opposed to there's places out there that have great sales reps and they're chasing down docs. They're trying to get their disclosures out. They're doing things like that. That really isn't the best use of their time.
No. And if we're talking about truly having a good relationship with the client and going through their emotions, you have to free up your mind from all the minutia, like you said, the processes, so you can give your all to the client.
Correct. And also too, when you start to break apart your processes in any process, when a team member does something over and over and over and over, it does two things. One, it improves efficiency, right? And then two, it improves quality. You can go back to Ford. Ford was the first one that made the assembly line of auto vehicles, right? And they found that, hey, you know what? Instead of having a team of guys build a car from the ground up to finish, why don't you just have one person just work on tires and one person just work on steering wheels and one person and so forth and so on. So you get a lot of efficiency. And that's kind of what we've done is we've taken the Ford assembly line and put the back end of mortgage origination in that same facet. So we have, for example, we have one person who orders appraisals. That's what they do for a living. They order appraisals and disperse appraisals. That's their job. We have a VOE person. That's what they do so we kind of dissected the process. And the same thing goes with processors. For example, you have mortgage loan processors that are a wealth of knowledge. And sometimes that you think about, it's like they're sitting on the phone waiting for a payoff for 15 or 20 minutes. That's a poor use of their time. So we have someone who just orders payoffs. So we just started breaking everything down and let people who have this wealth of experience just apply it. So it's not like, there's loan officer and then after that, everything else goes to you continue to break that down. And what you find is it's easier to scale, easier to hire, And it's not as an intimidating industry to pick up when you continue to break that down.
So if we're taking just one purchase loan, let's say, mm-hmm. how many people are working on that loan from start to finish? Could you break down like the whole process of where it goes?
Purchase loan. So loan officer pre-qualifies the client, answers questions, gets them out of the letter. Some of our loan officers have loan officer assistants as well. So then they talk to the consumer. The consumer or the realtor agent provides a contract. Then it goes to my docs team. We scrub and troubleshoot that file. To us, we put a lot on being proactive. So for example, we're going to confirm the precise property taxes. That's one thing's always bugged me is whenever you look at a number, like, oh, these are just estimates. I'm like, no, these are not. You can take our loan estimate to closing. Actually, take it to closing. I encourage you to do so because we're confident that we have fine tuned these things up front. So our docs team is going to go through and, like I said, they're going to vet most of the information on that 1003. They're going to pull up the precise property taxes and the tax bill. Then it's going to disclosures go out. Consumer e-signs them. They come back. I have a person who submits loans. They take all the signed documents along with the items the consumer turned in up front, and they submit the loan to underwriting.
Yeah.
During this time, title work is ordered, verifications are ordered, appraisals are ordered. It comes out. My processor sees it once it's out of underwriting.
Would you say, 6-7 different employees touch one file?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good number?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Yep. Now, so to get out, we were talking about this yesterday a bit, mm-hmm. right? And a lot with mindset, right? Mm-hmm. One thing that's coming to me right now, and hey, selfishly, I'm doing these podcasts because I want to learn how to do things. I mean, it's one of the good things that I can do this. If you're starting a company, right? Mm-hmm. You have 30 employees, 10 loan officers, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to scale. Scaling's always the tough part for most people, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a small company with not a lot of capital, let's say,
mm-hmm.
where do you go and how do you get the balls to start hiring people and breaking it down? Do you start small? I mean, I know it's going to be a mindset thing. I want to get into that, but how do you just like go for it and just start? I mean, you got to have a plan in place, but like, where do you dig deep to go and do that, man? That's the hardest part, in my opinion.
Well, I think a lot of times when people look at you on the inside, like for example, we're a debt-free company. I'm a debt-free individual. So they look at me like, oh, this is a risky guy. I'm like, not necessarily. Mm-hmm. So kind of what I think, in hindsight is that a lot of times we think to ourselves, how do you hire? How do you add people? Or how do you get started? How do you do all this? The biggest thing is, what do you want? Like, do you even know what you want? Because a lot of times people just want to hire people and they think that's just going to equal to help. And it's like, and we all know you can hire people and not get help. You've incurred the expenses, you hired the position, but you didn't get help. Mm-hmm. So it's in a finite manner documenting. And when you document things, type it out on a Word doc, it will force you to think, what do I want? I was typing this out and this is a great proposition. What would I want from this person? Because a lot of times people might hire before they really truly know exactly what they want them to do. So to me, and that doesn't cost any money. And when you start writing out what is needed of your business, you'll start to find, okay, someone could just do these tasks right here. And that alone will be worthwhile. And the other thing too that we do with our team is that it doesn't matter what position you are in our company, we are going to train every single one of you. So pre-COVID days, we had support staff meetings and sales meetings. Down to the person who submits loans, the person who orders verifications, the person who answers the telephone, they are going to be in my training and I train them how to be underwriters. Our expectation is that my processors should – you don't ask for a condition from a consumer if you yourself can't explain it and understand the guideline in which it derived from. So it's just a different expectation of yourself. It's a different standard. So when you get these standards to where it starts to make you feel uncomfortable, it's like, whoa, that's pretty tough. It's like, it is, but the rewards are there. Everyone's not doing it for a reason. It's not because it's not easy. But you start to do that. So – again, we train every single person. I don't care if you got hired last month. If we're training on underwriting, you're coming in the meeting and you're going to train with us. And so we constantly train. Our concept is that our loan officers are subject matter experts. There is no, like, I wish I could talk to the underwriter. You're talking to our sales team. And while they might not be the underwriter, they can intelligently explain, come up with solutions, anything that's occurring, because that's the level of knowledge that my team is expected to have on the underwriting side. And we train that and we reinforce that constantly.
Yeah. So, and you're training all in house, right? Are you bringing, correct, is there any,
no,
any programs or anything that you've brought in, or this is just your knowledge?
I've looked for the magic pills for a long time, and I know. And so everything's homegrown. We, like I said, I'm a bit of a mortgage nerd. I get into the weeds of everything. You know, I know what button when you click does this, and I know, you know, you have to become a fanatic to where you just learn and read guidelines, and then you also got to train your team. You know, because it does no good if you keep it, you know, in your own mind. You got to disperse that knowledge. So we train. Our sales meetings are really not sales oriented. Our sales meetings are more underwriting and training oriented. They're not about like go out there and get them. Now we have our times, we have our moments for that. But really it's like, if you think about it, if you build the best process that's in the industry, what is there to sell? It sells itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's an experience that people say, that's amazing. I thought getting a loan was supposed to be hard, and my friend's getting a loan and they're terrible time. I'm already done. And I'm like, yeah. So our whole mindset is that we want to make getting a loan the easiest thing, as easy as, you know, ordering something on a website, you know, click and you're done. You know, now technology isn't there in some aspects. Mm-hmm. Government compliance won't allow you to close in less than 7 days. We understand those things. So therefore our goal right now is 7 days, and it's 7 days because the government. Now, are we there? We're not, but we're not going to start out with a goal of saying, all right, it's 30 days in the industry, we're going to make it 22. We're starting at seven. That's, you know, the bar, yeah. The bar is welded at the top. There's no negotiating the bar, you know?
Yeah.
And if they allow us to close them in 4 days, my new goal that we'll pursue is 4 days.
I love it.
Yeah.
So, all right. So when you're putting these processes into place, all right, and we were talking about this yesterday, you can't just start winging it and putting, I mean, you have to have something in you that wants to do this, right?
Yes.
I'm trying to remember what you said yesterday about your heart and
yes,
the engine and then the steering wheel. Can you talk, yes, about that a bit? Because that's important, man. You can't just start
all right, so
behind it.
Okay, so here's kind of, you know, and look, you know, I don't claim to be an expert on this, but this is just my version of how the world has unfolded for me and what I kind of see in things,
right,
is that people will typically go and look for the solutions, the technicals, when they want results, whether it be in relationships or health or business. So, for example, who knows how to lose weight? We all do. Mm-hmm. But who is at their ideal weight? Most of us are not. And it's because that is an example of, we know how, which is your brain, and which I refer to as your steering wheel, but it's the heart, it's the grit, it's the grind. And how do you get that grit or that grind instilled in you and your team? A lot of it comes from moments on how we were raised. You know, maybe we had some difficulties in our childhood. Maybe military gave it to some people. Maybe sports gave it to some people. But something in your life made you a certain way. Some people take their shopping carts and they put them back in the cart section, and some people leave them out in the parking lot, right?
Oh, those people, man.
Right, those people, right? So there's different people out there. So it comes down to, you know, if you don't have that grit, that horsepower, that grind, and you just sit there and work on your steering wheel, your car's not going anywhere. You know, you're not getting your destination. So to me, that horsepower that people have whenever they have that passion, that is huge. That is so underestimated, in my opinion. You can't go to college for that. That has to be within you. And what you find is that people who have that, it's not if we're getting to our goal. It's how we're getting to our goal. It's non-negotiable. They're like, you know, I tell people, there's no quit in me. There's no quit. I will wash your car. I will mow your yard. It doesn't matter. You'll never. There's no lay down in me, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are like that. And those individuals, what they need is simply a path. And that's what our company does with our loan officers, is we work on, hey, listen, guys, you have that fire in you. I got the steering wheel covered. I know the technicals. I can get the pathway there. I can make, you know, but what I can't do is give you that horsepower. Because we might have some loan officers, for example, that might say, man, this is great. But if they don't want to get up and do what it takes and go after it and put that hustle in, then I can't give that to them either. You know, they got to bring that part. You know, I can't give you that part. So, you know, what we tell our people too is that, you know, the work, is it hard? Yes, it's hard. And there's no apology. You know, there's not an elevator to the top. You got to take the stairs, buddy. You know what I'm saying? That's called hard work. We're taking stairs. And the thing is, we're actually falling in love with the stairs. I enjoy, hey, you know what, when you're working out and it's burning, most people go, oh, this is hurting. No, man, you did all them reps before that one to get to that moment of that burn. Embrace the burn, man. You know, embrace the suck. Enjoy that. That's hard work right there. That's what you got that for. So we look at our team and say, listen, if you guys are putting in that grind and you do it day after day after day after day, the magic happens with, you know, the consistency. You know, the consistency of working hard. And you know, like when it comes to goals, everyone can get excited about goals. Everyone can get excited about results. And that's why I was mentioning yesterday that, yeah, that's why there's so many treadmills and Bowflexes in houses,
yeah,
right? With laundry hanging on them, right? Uh-huh. Easy to get amped up to say, you know what, this is the year I'm gonna lose some weight, or I'm gonna hit the sales goal, or I'm gonna do all these things. That's the easy part. The hard part is putting in the work. So we always explain you need to fall in love with the habits of success, not the ideas of success. Fall in love with what you're doing on a Tuesday morning. Fall in love with what you're doing on a Wednesday morning. Fall in love with that hard part. And here's what's going to happen is if you do it consistently over and over and over, what was once hard for you is now easy for you. So, you know, going to the gym on day 162 is a whole lot easier than going to the gym on day 3, right? Mm-hmm. And the analogy I was using was, you know, we can all think back to whenever we were little kids, and whenever they said, hey, you know, your parents said, listen, you need to go brush your teeth. You know, kids, if you got kids now, they're the same way, right? They're all like, you know, it's like a big thing, and they got to, you know, they're fighting, and they're delaying, and they're all this stuff, and it's like a big thing for them for some reason. Well, now we do that every single day as adults, right? We wake up, brush teeth, and you probably don't even remember what it looked like or felt like brushing your teeth this morning. It was just so subconscious that you just did it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's an example of repetition just starts to get ingrained in you to where now the hard isn't hard. The uncomfortable is comfortable. It just kind of, it gets easier and easier and easier because you just do it every day. It's just programmed in. And so to me, it's all about getting that consistency in there, because those first few weeks at the gym, man, those are so critical days. But once you get past that hump, it just starts to go. Well, the same thing goes for sales efforts. The same thing goes for anything we're doing in life. It's that repetition is when it starts to kick in.
Mm-hmm.
You start to create those healthy habits as far as business and relationships and health as well.
I mean, that's what I got written down yesterday, yeah, man. When you got me pumped up yesterday. I'm telling you, man, I was telling you. Yeah, I have it circled. Falling in love with the habits of success.
That's it. That's what you got to do. You cannot leave it at just the idea of success. Everyone does it. That's the easy part.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? The harder it is, embrace it. Say, you know what? I'm glad it's hard. Because guess what? If it was easy, you would have a million competitors. Look at industries that have very low barriers to entry, right? Mm-hmm. Anybody can just go, you know, start in certain trades, and now they're your competitor. This is a hard business, guys. There's a lot of details. There's a lot of details in this business. This is a big transaction. And you know what? Instead of resenting that, I'm like, bring it. Good.
Embrace it, right?
Come on in. Let's do it, you know?
Yeah, and it's going to suck sometimes. You were talking about yesterday. Like, maybe you guys had when all this went down, you had a week where you're like, you're licking your wounds. You're feeling maybe a little sorry for yourself. What are we going to do? It's all over. But then – you know, it clicked, embrace it, and let's go. And like you said yesterday, while a lot of people are living in our industry are fearful, you're expanding right now.
Correct. Right? We're growing,
You're looking to hire.
Yeah, we are hiring. We just hired some. We're hiring some more. Correct. No, there's no doubt. So, it's kind of like, you know, like if you ever, you know, swim in the ocean, you can swim against the current and it will wear you out. And guess what? The current's going to win. You ain't going to beat the current. Or you can turn around and go with the current. And now things are easy, right? So we're going with the current. And at first, when this whole thing happened, you know, I'd be lying to you to say if it wasn't a moment like, you know, I was giving an analogy of like, you know, in the movies, like, you know, if there's some guys that are, you know, in a conflict, in a war, and a bomb goes off around them, and at first they're just kind of, you know, they're shell-shocked, they're disoriented, the sounds and everything's distant, and all of a sudden it just kind of comes back to them, and they're like, I'm here. And get back in the fight, man. And that's what happened to us. It just happened. I'm like, what's going on? What are we doing? We weren't scared. We were just like, we got to figure out this thing.
Yeah.
And then after about a week, I'm like, you know what? Who are we? Like, who am I? What, we're not going to grow? No, this is Florida Mortgage Firm. This is what we're about to do. We're about to grow in this. Bring it. You got overlays? Give me some. Is that all you got? How about a COVID swab before funding? 24 hours of funding don't scare me. You know, what other overlay you want to throw over here? You know, we got it. You know, So you just had that mentality, and when you do, it's so easy, you know. And just like, you know, JP, I know you follow some sports there, but you know, whenever your favorite college team is playing like an unranked team, for example, but when that unranked team hasn't accepted the fact they're already beat, Mm-hmm. That's scary, man. That is scary, right?
Really
that's
scary.
That's a pit bull in the corner, right? You back that dog in the corner, and that's when you need to look out, because that's when the haymakers come. That's whenever they're going for broke, right? Mm-hmm. Listen, guys, we are the broker channel, right? We are the guys that weren't supposed to win. You know what? We're winning right now. We are so lean. We are so adaptable. This is our environment to thrive. This is, you know, when the tide's low, our boats run on thin water. We're versatile. You know, these guys got aircraft carriers stuck in the mud, right? It's time not to lay down. It's time to get up, double down, and go after it. This is our moment. So to me, I'm like, bring it. Let the tide go down, right? We're built for this moment.
I'm so, getting pumped again, man.
Hey, man. Hey.
Deja vu from yesterday.
Hey, bet on your this is what I tell people. Don't focus on the storm. The storm is a storm. You can't control the storm. I can't control the weather. That's this environment we're in, right? That's mm-hmm. the storm. But you know what you can control? You can control your boat and you can control your crew. And you need to bet on your boat and bet on your crew. I ain't worried about that storm. I got the best boat and the best crew. We're going to navigate this. And you know what? There might be another storm one day and another storm. But I ain't going to sit there and be paralyzed staring at the storm. I'm going to say, you know what? There's a storm coming. I better make sure my boat's right. Make sure my crew's trained. So that's all we're doing, man.
Of course, you went back to the boat analogy, man. I
mean, love it, man.
I love it.
That Florida boy, you know.
So, for hiring right now, then, right? As you're expanding, mm-hmm. let's talk about that in a little bit more detail. Like, mm-hmm. where are you finding? I'm assuming you're hiring loan officers, and then support staff comes with it, right? But where are you looking? Like, where are you going and looking to hire for everyone out there looking to expand, like yourself? What are you looking for? Where are you finding them?
So, we look for the individual, and I honestly don't go for if I can find someone that has the culture, the mindset that we share, which not everyone's just going to have it, but if they have the raw material there to be formed into it,
the fire, right? Correct.
Okay. Correct.
That's
correct.
What you're looking for. Okay.
Yes. But you know, it's not just the fire. It's also the, you know, in the Marine Corps, the big thing is attention to detail. Attention to detail, man. Details will bury you in this business if you're not keenly aware of every finite, granular thing that you're dealing with, right? Okay. So very detailed. So we look for the raw characteristics because, again, if I got someone who has the brain and they've been in the business forever, but they don't have this, and they're the kind of person that says, you know what, someone just called me at 4:55 and my shift ends at 5 and you're okay with leaving that, I can't train you that. You know, that I can't, you know, we can manage that, but I don't want to manage people. I want to just have great people, and then you don't have to manage them, you know? So my point is that we don't necessarily look for here's a resume or here's this. I look for people with certain skill sets, certain aspects about them. And then we add those. The other thing too, that I've learned is that when you find someone that has these skill sets, whether or not you think you're at a position to hire, you're hiring then. You hire, because these people only cross your path at different, you know, points in life, and timing's not always going to wait for you to be in a position to start growing again.
Yeah, so you don't necessarily are out there using Indeed or any of that stuff to find.
But I'm hiring 24/7.
It could be someone walking down the street that you happen to run into. I mean, when we were allowed to go out to the bar or restaurant, maybe
the good old days, JP.
Yeah, the good old days when we could have a drink at the bar.
Yeah.
So you're just. And I've heard this from a lot of successful people doing these podcasts. Like, they're not going and getting resumes, you know, all the job things. Like, they're just finding people, word of mouth.
You can find them anywhere, man. I found some as servers in restaurants. I've found some people in industries that are completely unrelated. You know, I found some that are they don't even have a career yet. They're just starting out, but they got that fire. I'm like, you know what, that was a variation of me a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And that person has these characteristics. And what they do, what you find is people who have that, they learn at an exceptional pace because their why is so strong. Their hunger is so great. They see opportunity everywhere. Like, sometimes you'll see loan officers that might say, you know what, I just don't see any leads. You know, I talked to this one guy and I'm helping him buy a home. But that's all I talked to. And I'll pull up the 1003 and say, wait a minute, this guy's got two investment homes. What's his rate on those? I don't know. They're not even seeing what's in front of them. But whenever you have that hunger, your vision becomes 20/20. You start to see everything. So these folks that have that burn in them, they will train, they will adapt, and they will learn at an exceptionally quicker pace than those who don't. Other people say, put my hand on the answer. What's the answer? And they're not looking for the help me understand why. So in different scenarios, the answer doesn't have to be you know, A to B for me. I can kind of interpret the data, make an educated underwriting decision, things of that nature. So we train all that, and their reception based on people's, you know, their heart, their horsepower, it affects how quickly they absorb those things.
That's awesome. Cool. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I just want to make a point of that. If you're looking to expand and hire, look at the person first. Don't look at their resume. Don't see really where they came from. Look at them as a person. Make mm-hmm. sure they got that fire, you know, the horsepower going, mm-hmm. and then, you know, then get them into a spot to succeed. But that's what they need first.
You got to have that, man. You got to have that grit, that fire, number one. You know, so an analogy I heard the other day was saying, do you understand that if you're like sitting in a, and let's say you're in a bank making a deposit, and a guy comes in to rob the bank, right? That's a terrible, terrible situation. Every ounce of your mind, of your thought, of your soul, of your core has one objective, and that's getting your tail out the door.
Right. Yep.
All of a sudden, all the distractions, all the everything else is completely irrelevant. You will find a way. You will jump over, you know, you'll jump over desks, chairs, you'll elbow the guy, whatever you need to do to get past that objective, you will find a way because you are so hyper-focused on that goal. The reason you're so hyper-focused on that goal is because your life is in jeopardy, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty easy it gives you that discipline real quick, right?
Oh, yeah.
So if people have that level of intensity, not necessarily because their life's in danger, but just a level of intensity about them that they see goals, they do the same thing. They all these, oh, I haven't been in the industry. Some of my best team members have not been in the industry that long at all. Mm-hmm. You know, not that long at all. So, you know, when you have that in you, everything is that way. You know, like I said, learning, it all comes that way. You know,
and I've seen that. I know we're talking about attention to detail, right? But yep. When you have that fire and the client feels that fire, right? And you're working as a team to achieve the goal of buying a house, let's say. Yep. If something does, you know, because it goes like this, man, right? A transaction yep. sometimes. Something does fall off the rails a bit, but they know you're in your corner and you're just trying to get to that solution and there's the pathway. They're cool with that. They're fine. Yeah. So the people that get nervous in a transaction, oh, I have to give different news or bad news. When that client feels it's just we're in this together to get there, they're cool with it. And then you're building them up to get to the end. Hence, I'm sure a lot of your are just
word right.
mouth, right?
You guys aren't buying. Absolutely. JP, when you go on an offshore fishing trip, I'm going to ask more questions about the captain than I am about the boat, mm-hmm. right? Okay. If things get squirrely, I want to know his resume, right? Well, what about this? I'm buying a home. Do you want to know about, you know, that's when you want to know about the expert handling your scenario, right? Mm-hmm. Fastballs at the middle are always easy to hit. Mm-hmm. How do you do with a curveball? You know, how do you do with a slider? That we want to know how you handle these different situations. And again, people that are like that, you know, they adapt, they overcome, they get it, you know? Cool.
I love it, man. We could talk about this stuff all day. I'm about to go run through a wall. But, let's talk. We got about – it's flying by already, man. We got like 10, 15 minutes. I want to talk a little bit because I've been following you more on Facebook, and I'm loving the content, man.
Okay.
I mean, it's funny. So what are you guys doing for marketing right now, how to bring in some leads? I'm sure there's a lot of word of mouth, a lot of referrals, right, just from past clients, let's say. But is there anything else that you're doing right now just to keep – Florida Mortgage Firm out there as you expand? Because I'm sure you got to do something if you're expanding a little bit.
Right. So our growth has honestly been organic. We don't buy leads. We're not in any of these MSA deals. We don't do that. We just literally focus on that process. So how do you grow? I kind of look at it like, listen, leads I break them out into two categories. You have inbound leads and then you have outbound leads. And that's where you reach out and you develop a lead. Right. Well, there's your database, guys. I mean, you know, there's your data. So your inbound leads aren't coming in like they used to. All right. Shift gears. We're going outbound.
Yep.
Right.
What would be the outbound? Like more realtor relationships? Like what would be an outbound?
Yeah. So realtor relationships. So, you know, realtor relationships are farming. It's going to take a lot of time. Mm-hmm. You're going to cultivate it. But once that farm's up and going, you're going to have regular reoccurring meals. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes you're starving at that moment. You better not plant a crop. You better go hunt, mm-hmm. right? So hunting is you're a transaction right there that moment. So I kind of look at whenever you're marketing, are you farming? Are you hunting? Both of which will get you results. But if all you do is hunt, that is a hamster wheel. You'll never get off that. You need to be farming while simultaneously hunting. And then what happens is, so my loan officers, once they, you know, plug into this and they follow a protocols, they're at a point to where they literally have a career. They have a career in that they can turn off all outbound efforts, right? And I got one that was, they're semi-retired and they have, and they still get a substantial amount of business on their platter because they have farmed. You have done it the right way. There's other companies out there that you see these retail places that will sit there and all they do is they have some loan officers that all they do is they hunt.
Right, that's because
you know, their rates and things are not that as competitive. Their service might be more of a, you know, maybe more of a, I'm not saying like a number, but just not the same.
Right.
And that's what we tell our team is that, you know, a satisfied customer does not give you referrals. A customer that says, wow, like, so whatever they expect of me, I've got to double down on it and give them that and then some. I want to give them some tips and advice. Just like if I go to file my taxes, I don't want my CPA to say, well, Nate, this is how you asked for it, so I did it. I want you to say, no, give me some ideas. Tell me some things I should have done. Tell me some.
Got it.
We are subject matter experts. You are an advisor. You know, you are the professional, not an order taker. A website will kick your butt at being an order taker. You know, that thing's available 24/7. It's instant response. So you have to be the hybrid. We're gonna leverage technology and add the human element to it and be experts. And that's really what the consumers want.
So if you had like a brand new loan officer, right, that, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, it was a server, you saw something in them, you have the processes mm-hmm. in place, what would yep. you tell them? Like, they're starting from ground zero. What would you tell them to do?
I would hire them as a support staff position.
Okay.
I would not look, you know, so I have a responsibility to my referral partners, to the families that entrust our brand, and our brand is critical. So we would not put that person with that level of experience up on the front lines. They're not ready for it. We would train them and bring them through the ranks while paying them, because they're going to be providing a service to us as well. And then after they've gotten through the ranks, they will then find out, you know, how well they did, and maybe they're more suited for a support role, or maybe they are suited for sales. But at that point, you know, if you think about it, you know, the loan officer industry, most people say, listen, here's what you got to do. You got to know a gazillion pages of underwriting guidelines, which is highly technical and detailed. You got to know how to communicate with clients, which communication is its own skill set. And also, by the way, you need to know how to market too, right? That's a pressure cooker of, and listen, some of us, that's what we did, man. You know, we're old school. We did it, right? So we know it's doable, but is it scalable? How many folks like us are out there? And if that's what you're trying to find, you're fishing for unicorns. You gotta make, so instead of saying, well, it's just tough and no one's good out there, you gotta say, what can I control? That's all you should always focus on. What can you control? Well, what I can control is making my systems, my processes, my team as simple as possible and adaptable. Otherwise, you're always gonna be out there saying, well, no one does it like we do, or no one's, you know, got the skill sets that they need to do it in the fashion in which we expect it. We just got to continue to simplify it.
Okay. Yeah, I love that.
Baby step.
And it's such a complex industry, which it is. It's all mm-hmm. about simplifying and constantly evolving, right? That's what
Correct.
I keep doing.
Okay. 24/7. We update and change our processes every single week. Anytime anything occurs, this is the level of how fanatic you have to be. Anytime anything happens that isn't a wow moment, what is it? Write it down. I'll give you an example. Years ago, we ordered an appraisal, and it was an FHA appraisal. An email goes out. We notify the agent, hey, we ordered an FHA appraisal. We put you down as a contact. The agent goes and lets the appraiser in. This house didn't turn on utilities.
Right.
So we're thinking, man, like, that's kind of something you should know, right? But the agent had no clue. She's like, no one told me. And at first I'm like, you should. I'm like, know what? I'm going to take the whole UWM and I'm going to point some thumbs. Yep, you know yep. what? You are right. I should have told you. Even though it's not my job. But you know what? That's okay, because I can only fix me. Mm-hmm. So now our process is, whenever an appraisal is ordered, we're notifying them up front. These things must be turned on. Failure to do so will result in additional fee. The client's on the email, by the way, so they're going to make sure the agent does what they need to do. And if you know what, if they don't do it, it's clear as day. You got written instructions on how to do your job and this element of the transaction for the appraisal piece.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of having a proactive mind versus a reactive mind. So anytime you find yourself in a reactive situation, you want to look at it and say, what could I have done proactively?
Yeah.
Not to, because most people say, you know, they're putting out fires. And I say, well, who's managing the campfire? Right? Like, well, I don't care about how you put out the fire. I want to know why the fire is even here to begin with. let's really get this at the root of the cause. So what you do is you just kind of look at that with that mindset, and then these solutions get very, very apparent to you. And you'll see so many opportunities once you start thinking in that manner.
Yeah. You got me thinking. I might put a board in our office just called like the wow board. So when something happens, you know, how do we wow them next time? Because you're only going to learn from when things happen.
Again, Correct.
Constantly evolve. And in this industry now, where we're at with COVID and everything, you have to be adaptive.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
We're not going back to the new or the old norm. Like we're going to be, it's going to be new. So mm-hmm. it's time to put them in back into place. All right, cool.
No doubt.
Two more questions for you. All right. Where do you see the industry going then in the next 3 to 5 years? Is there anything that's in the back of your head that you're seeing that you know is definitely going to change? Like, where do you see it going, the whole industry?
You're talking about the entire, the entire mortgage industry itself, not the channel, everything.
Correct. The entire mortgage industry. Where do you see it going?
Man, so let's see, off the cuff, you know, obviously online and automations are critical. So the thing that we're now getting into is, instead of just saying who else can do these tasks, the first question I ask is, can my IT do this task? So now, you know, the way I look at a team member is that their best value proposition is communicating with consumers, answering questions, giving them, if the person's concerned, put in that ease if they have any questions. That's their best value proposition. A human doing data entry, a computer is way better at that, way better. So what we do is we just say, can a PC, can technology do this? And if not, then what team member should do it? I think the industry, you're already seeing it happen, but what happens with technology, it's kind of like a boulder rolling down a hill. At first, it starts to be slow and subtle, and once it starts to pick up steam and you notice it, it's already flying. So I think you're going to see a substantial amount of technology continue to unfold, and we've already seen it. I'm just saying that you're going to see it at an even more rapid pace.
Got it. And you don't believe that, all right, here comes the robots. It's going to take over our whole industry. It's going to go away. I know you don't believe in that because
not at all.
With the emotions that you deal with clients, like no robot can take that away.
It's
important, right, to put in the automation so you can free up that true advisor to really get through the process of the client.
Correct. So the more complex the financial transaction is, the more likely a consumer is going to research it online, but yet work local.
Got it. Can you say that one more time? I like it.
The more complex a financial transaction is, the more likely a consumer may research it online, but they will still shop local. Because I want to have the accountability piece, right? Like if I'm going to go buy a $10 million life insurance policy, for example, I can research that on the web. I can get quotes. I can do all that.
Yep.
But that's a big deal. Like if you get that wrong, man, and something happens to you and your family doesn't have the money you thought they were going to have, that's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
I want to speak with a trusted advisor. Right. So that's kind of how I see this, is that I don't see technology replacing, but I do see people who don't leverage the technology, they will be replaced, because you have to have both. You have to have technology assisted experts.
Yeah, because things are moving so fast right now.
Correct.
A human brain can't handle how quick things move. Use it to handle the true situations, like you said, advising correctly.
Yeah.
Having someone local.
Correct. Even at the most basic level, I mean, can your consumers apply for a loan on your website? Like, they got to be able to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Just the instant response. So, if you look at, for example, if you look at videos online, the consumer's attention span is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Back in the day, we'd watch a 5-minute YouTube video. Now it's like, give me 30 seconds, right? Mm-hmm. And that's going to, because there's so much information flooding our brains, it's going to continue to get shorter and shorter. Well, the same thing goes with patients. So one of the things I did whenever I was at Geico is I managed your internet department for a while. And one of the goals was to get people to start utilizing the website versus calling in, because call centers, it's not just a staffing thing. It's the customer experience cannot be controlled in a vacuum, if you will. Right. So one of the things we noticed, I'm like, man, everyone's putting all these requests online and then we're calling them. But half of them have already called the call center. what's going on? Well, they would submit the request and it says, thank you, received your request, with no expectation of when it was going to be responded to. Right? So consumers are like this. Hey, I need response. Just like I tell my team, listen, if an agent calls you with a lead, you better text them back. Call, like, if you're in a meeting, fine, but you better acknowledge the request right then on the spot.
Yep.
You're not the only player in town, right? So same thing goes with your inquiries. You know, acknowledge the request. If you get an email, hit them back. Hey, got your email request? Just at least acknowledge it. So once we started to acknowledge it and set up a timeline that you can meet. So don't say something like, oh, I'll be with you in 2 minutes when it ain't going to happen. But set up a timeline you can meet. And then the consumer says, you know what? Someone has it. It didn't go into the abyss of the web. And I'm okay. I can wait for that.
Mm-hmm.
So what it is, it's the mental anxiety of the uncertainty of, is anyone even going to get to this? Is anyone even going to call me back? I don't want to wait half a day to realize no one called me back and then start on option B. So things like that. You just have to start to, you know, you have to be a very critical customer, mm-hmm. like put yourself in a mindset of that. And then when you do, you'll start to see things like, man, this is kind of, yeah, we should do this, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think that's where the industry is going to go, is consumers are going to have less and less, you know, back in the old day, you'd call an insurance agent. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to be in the office on Friday and I'll get that quote over to you. That junk won't happen. You ain't going to be around like that, right?
It's funny. My father owns an Allstate agency, and all right, he's owned it for whatever it is, 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I remember that because I worked for him. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll get back to you, you know, over to, you know, on Monday, you know, they called in Friday. But it's really cool. I see my father adapting. You know, mm-hmm. he's late 50s.
Yep.
You know, he still has the fire. Yep. And, you know, now he's slowly giving his cell phone out. He's getting right. back to people on the weekend. You can see him adapting. So, mm-hmm. hey, if my pop can adapt,
yeah.
he can adapt too, no yeah. doubt.
And the thing is, if you don't have enough motivation to do so, just understand how quickly when it comes to technology innovation, you know, if you want to read up on what happened to Kodak and how quickly they went from a massive company to extinction. I mean, Kodak. It's fast. Kodak, the film.
Kodak. The film. Okay.
The film. Yeah.
Yeah. So research that. I'm going to research that.
Yeah, it's an interesting story, though, but it's fast because technology will do that. It's a game changer. It changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, it's here. It's in our industry. And listen, look at things. Like, for example, look at appraisals right now. Do you see how the PIWs are coming? Do you see how the exterior inspect? The concept that a person goes into a home and says, yes, it's still a block home for the ninth time on that home's history.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Right? The lot is still 80 feet wide. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some things, some conditions. I mean, there's a need for the human. There's a need for the human element and the interpretation. But some of the things are not necessarily required at that point. And you just start to see things. You start to see, you know, income verifications, you know, asset verification online. You know, we're starting to see all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when that comes in, it's starting to, you know, your pathway is there.
That's here to stay, man.
Here to stay. So they're not calling. They're not calling any of us. Because we are so good at ordering a VOE, right? They're calling us because we have expert advice. We can diagnose, right? We want to be able to diagnose the scenario. And that's the great news is technology currently cannot do those things. It cannot diagnose. When you go to the doctor, does he walk in and say, JP, looking good, buddy, take this medication? No, the first thing he has to do is diagnose the problem, right? Well, I don't want an automated system diagnosing me at this point, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's your human element.
I love it. I love it. All right. Last question. I think you'll like this one. I think a lot of people need to hear this. So right now, yeah, it is a tough time, right? Mm-hmm. You went through your week or so, like you said, and you got out of it and you moved. There's mm-hmm. people out there that I've talked to, a lot of people that mm-hmm. they're a bit paralyzed right now. They have that fire in them, right?
Okay.
They have that horsepower. They've had it before. They've had it so many times, but they might be a bit stuck right now.
Mm-hmm.
What, like if it's someone on your team, what would mm-hmm. you do? Would you pull them aside? How would you motivate them, being the leader that you are, to try and get them unstuck to go? Because now's the time to go. We can't be waiting around anymore.
I got you. Let's see. What would I tell them? I would say this. Look at where your life has brought you, even to this moment, to this point in time, to me and you, JP, being on this call, mm-hmm. right? Everything before us happened and it got us to this very moment. Mm-hmm. Someone right now is watching this podcast, right? And for some reason, something told them to click on it and watch it, and they are getting this message, right? Well, here's what I know is that, let's see, from our industry, 2008 meltdown happened, right? I was here for that. I went through that. We all had that TRID change. Remember TRID?
Oh, yeah.
We had that. What, you know, some people went through school, some people had hard exams, some people worked for some companies before and they were fired from their job right? Some people had relationships and they were broke up. They had a disappointment and they didn't make it. Whether it be a relationship, a marriage, something. Some people had tough matters with their children. Some people have had tough clients that just beat them down. Some people had, you know, a natural disaster, hurricanes have ravaged their homes. You know, some people have had things from their childhood, man. Maybe some people have dealt with disease. Those are just business problems. Some people have dealt with disease. Some people have dealt with abusive relationships. Some people have dealt with loss of loved ones. All that has happened in your life, and here you are right now. And JP, you're going to tell me that COVID, this is what's going to put you down? Come on, man. No. We didn't get through all that for this part. That ain't going to happen. You better bring a whole lot more than this, because let me tell you something. If these are our problems, JP, if these are our problems, acknowledge this. We ain't got problems. If you want to see problems, there's some hospitals you can go see some sick children, and you'll quickly learn what problems look like. This isn't a problem. This is a challenge. And to me, the objective, where we're going as our business, our model, the broker channel, where we're going, that objective has not changed, right? So all that's happened was we were going to a destination, and there was a mountain in the path that we did not plan for. But you know what? We don't say, all right, guys, pack it up. Let's go home. Turn around. There's a mountain there. No. We are going to go over the mountain, around the mountain, or through the mountain. But one thing is not negotiable is our success. And this storm, this COVID, these changes, these overlays, these are just details. It doesn't matter. We've already won. We're just playing the game. That's what I would tell them.
I love it. Thank you, man. I think everyone needed to hear that out there. I appreciate you getting up. I know I put you on the spot.
Yeah, man.
Hey, man, always good seeing you. Always good talking to you. If you need anything, of course, we're here. I hope to get down to Florida. I'm coming.
No
I'm
doubt.
Going on the boat. I'm doing the whole thing.
Tell no
Sasha and the family I said hi. All right.
I will do, man. Hey, and thank you for putting this on, man. I think this is really great for the channel, brother. I really do.
Of course. Thank you again, man.
All right.
Nate Davis, Florida Mortgage Firm. Yep. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Broker to Broker podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our channel so you don't miss a single episode. Head over to aimgroup.com/broker to broker. And subscribe on any platform where you listen to podcasts.